At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, I might not bet that for more. You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Bring your joy, bring your tears, bring it all. Sirius XM Channel 159. It's time for Moneyline, your best hour of the day. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, and boy, oh boy, do we have some hot topics to let rip here. The Niners smashed the Philadelphia Eagles. The Florida State Seminoles not in the college football playoff. The NBA in-season tournament, and much, much more. Is an hour enough? Some say we'll never know, K-Dub.
Yeah, we just won't, but man, oh man. It was a weekend that I left happy because my focus was on college. The Eagles got beat in a way that now apparently they might have to be kept out of the playoffs. I think that's how that story's going. But yeah, we'll get into all of it. You captain the ship, Donnie. So you go where your heart leads you.
Let's start right here for all intents and purposes, because we might not even make it to the Eagles game. As much as I want to talk about the Eagles getting smashed by the 49ers and what that means for the future, the college football landscape, the one thing you can say is it got a lot of attention, and that's usually all you can ask for. Good press, bad press, all press is great press, and that's what college football is getting now. Their explanations don't make any sense, but for my money and my ideas, they absolutely nailed the Final Four, which is going to be tremendous. And yes, life is not fair a lot of times. And for people to say, 13-0, they won this. You know, Florida State we're talking about here. They beat Florida with a backup. They beat Louisville with a backup quarterback. And if we did have 10 teams, 12 teams, 24 teams, Florida State, no doubt in our mind would be in. And I know people get upset. You play the games, Kevin, they have to mean something. And then I usually trip people up and I say, well, if that quarterback that started on Saturday night played the entire season for FSU, they might be looking for a new coach right now at this point, as opposed to being playing for a national championship. So let's start right here. Your thoughts when we watched live in Atlantic City, Ocean Resorts, right around noon, the 1-4 came out, and your thoughts were?
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. And let's make this very clear to people. I, preseason, bet Florida State to win the national championship. Now, I also have a futures on Texas and Bama. But my biggest potential haul, Donnie, was Florida State winning the title. So this isn't bias, or this isn't about, you know, oh, I hate Florida State. The people keep saying, oh my goodness, they left out a 13-0 unbeaten champion. Okay, well, the alternative was leaving out a team that went unbeaten in SEC play and went 12-1. Or the alternative was leaving out a team that went 12-1, winning all but one game in Big 12 play and beat the SEC champion in Alabama. There was not going to be a right answer. You know, I'll be honest with you, Donnie. I didn't care enough probably about college football when they made the decision to create a four-team format, though I always wanted expansion, right? But how in the world did they sit in that room and think, you know what, we got a Power 5, you know, situation going on here. Four teams will be enough. It is the perfect send-off for this format that you and I have always been correct about not being enough. That they had to deal with this situation on the way out. A situation they were basically begging for.
you are right, because when you had the BCS two-team playoff, and here's where I'm going to start to rail on people, because some people always say, Donnie, your takes are stupid, you know, you don't actually believe that. There has been no person in this industry, Kevin, for the length of time that I said, the bowl season is ridiculously stupid and doesn't make sense. Kevin, there's a reason why Division III, Division II, and 1AA back in the day didn't have bowl season, right? Because it didn't serve them any purpose other than, hey, if we could sell tickets and make money, that's the way to do it. They said, no, you know what? We can't do that. So let's just have an honest playoff. We're going to let like 32, again, Division III, 32 football teams make the playoffs here. The best team is going to win. Nobody complains when they don't get in because the 33rd team, hey, we should have gotten in here. The reason I bring this up is the fact that we started off, Kevin, with two, forget about pre-BCS, which is even more ludicrous than that, two teams and go, you know what's going to fix this, Kevin? Let's go to four teams. Why at that time didn't they just go, hey, guys, let's look around the landscape. How come every other division has at least like 24 teams in the playoffs? Why are we going four here? Because of the idiots that wanted to keep games like the Rose Bowl intact for no apparent reason. And the thing I do like about this too, Kevin, because this builds into it. The fact of the matter is you're going to get Florida State and you're going to get Georgia in the Orange Bowl, which is typically on the championship slate. Nobody cares about that football game. Kevin, put that game in the Orange Bowl in the college football playoff. Sensational.
Yeah, I mean, we have ourselves the best possible format. I mean, from what was available to us. Here is the question, though, Donnie, that I have. So, it's not that people who want Florida State in, I think you'd agree. I understand that, right? Like, I think it's a little silly, but I get the argument. Here's what I don't understand, DRS. There are a lot of people out there who said, here is what the four in order should look like. Michigan, Washington, Texas, Florida State. For those people, you do realize that means if Georgia beat Alabama, your four-team playoff would have excluded FSU in order for Texas to be in. That is something I cannot understand. Those are the people, Donnie, for me right now, that I cannot figure out the people who think Texas deserved to be in over Florida State, but not Alabama. It is not something that I even... And by the way, dearest, this isn't just like, you know, as I saw two people tweet it out. Like, I've seen multiple people whose job it is to talk and cover sports for a living say that they think Texas should have been three and Florida State should have been four. And I don't understand it.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot not to understand, but I think in totality, you know, the whole, like, whoa, you know, leaning on the conference champion, Power Five, not designed for this, and, you know, the argument against it was like, it's not designed for a lot of scenarios that actually come up, because what happens if all five of them, as we always say, go unbeaten? Like, what does that mean? Well, we got to include it on this, and then there's some words that, oh, I thought they were going to actually expand it to six this year, because you don't want to leave anybody out. The committee got it right at Florida State's expense, and if you were arguing, here's why, you don't want to disrespect anybody, Kevin, right? But I left it at this. If you are a gambler, handicapper, fan, and or we're on the actual playoff committee, you watched the first half of Florida State played against Louisville, and you had to ask yourself this question. Do they belong in the college football playoff, and will we get the best four teams at that point? And it was absolutely no. Now, also, here's part of where we're going to pick up after the break. Because a lot of people go back and say, well, what about Cardale Jones and Ohio State? And you say, you know what? That's a good point. Cardale Jones showed up on the scene and threw for 257 yards and three touchdowns in an absolute rout, which we go, oh, he might be good. If Rodmaker did the same thing against Florida, one of the worst defenses in the history of college football, they probably would be in the playoff. Let's keep talking about it more right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, wow.
You're loving this. Let's let it play out. I mean, whose theme song is this?
Wait a minute. You don't know whose theme song this is?
No, what is it?
Wait, but hold on. Then how's it in the show? Is JP just pull wrestling
themes? He might be
themes?
Doing it. Yeah. He might just pull it out. Or maybe you gave it to him a while ago.
No, because I don't think I did. This is one of your favorites. Obviously, you would know if it was the Hulkster's theme. But this is that's Goldberg right there.
Yeah, I didn't like Goldberg, so there you go.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wait a minute. You had heat with Berg?
Let me tell you something. Let's go back to summer of 1998. Monday Nitro, Atlanta, Georgia, in the Dome.
I'm
telling you right now, they let Hawk get a little bit of offense in early, and I stood out of my chair going, he's going to do it. I was so, like, when Goldberg won, it was like, that's what you expected. When Hogan was rallying there, I said, he might go in the business for himself right now and take care of this for once and for all for everybody.
Time to drop
so I do. So, yes, that's funny, that because I don't really, now that you say it, I do remember the theme. It's been a long time. Yeah. But that's when you say Goldberg, he came in so quick, and I liked him, like, right up until like that. I was like, Hogan's going to beat him here, and he wasn't able to beat him, which we all knew wasn't going to be the case. But fantastic time. What a great time in wrestling, Monday Nitro, by the way. So there you go. Little backdrop there.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. That popped me big, especially because I thought you were responsible for it. And I actually am popped even bigger, though, now that I know that JP is responsible for it.
There you go. Goes right to Goldberg. So now, the college football playoff, same as Goldberg. Teams that are destroying everybody, left, right, and center. Not really the case here. Now, here's, let's keep this in the Florida State realm, but I just want to bring this up. And it was a great point you made up yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to see the clip on the way home. There were two ways this one video was going to go when it deals with the Michigan Wolverines. It's supposed to be a joyous moment. Even when you make it into, like, they usually do it on March Madness. Get the camera in the room. Everybody goes nuts. Who cares who you play? Even if it's, like, a tough team, the kids are still excited. The fans are cheering. And I swear to you, if Florida State popped up on that screen when they showed Michigan, the place would have been like a buzzsaw reunion down in like New Orleans on Mardi Gras weekend. Mm-hmm. They would have been throwing chains. They would have been throwing beer bottles and glass and everything because they'd have been so excited. Mm-hmm. It looked like a funeral when that Alabama logo popped up there. Kevin, there was 100 people in that room, and here's what you heard. I mean, they were like, oh, no.
Yeah. Somehow, they all started to slowly remember, oh, people can see us right now. We need to start clapping like we didn't just get our dreams ruined. And I'll tell you, we're a ways out, Donnie, from when we have to make picks in that game. The only thing that is going to stop me from confidently picking Alabama is that I do think most people will be picking Alabama in that game, which, again, is why we constantly said they need to put Alabama in the playoff. Come on now.
Yeah, you know, and also to counteract this, too, because it's fun we're talking about all these. There's so many different ways to go. But you take a look at Michigan, right? Michigan doesn't look like they have that offense that's super high-powered, but we knew what Michigan was the entire season. They beat Penn State, they beat Ohio State, and then they beat Iowa. And they beat Iowa by margin. We're used to this. So Ben and I, you know, we had a couple good segments this morning in the college football playoff. And again, it all centers around Florida State, if they had a healthy quarterback, would be in the playoff. But now you're saying, like, because Ben was going, like, well, what about Michigan? Who did this and that? And I said, Ben, you know, if game number one, Rademacher was your quarterback, and you won every game 4-3, we would already have expectations for that and say, oh, okay, this is what the football team is, this is how they win games. But the fact they went from a really good offense to shambles was a big trademark indifference. Because you can't trade back, and I understand, it's like, well, Michigan, they don't even do anything and play anybody. But the fact of the matter, how they ended the season winning all their ranked games here, and quite frankly, by margin, that makes a big difference here. Because also, if J.J. McCarthy got injured in the final minutes of a game against, you know, let's just say in versus Iowa on Saturday, you wouldn't have anything to go back on, so you'd put them in. The fact of the matter is that your quarterback got hurt for Florida State a couple games where we got to see the result, and again gets back to Ohio State and Cardell. The minute we saw Cardell, I was like, oh, this guy can spin it. This guy can spin it. And that's why they were in the playoff.
But let me also say this. Like, and I know, like, J.J. didn't do a ton in the football game. But, Donnie, if J.J. McCarthy didn't play in the Big Ten champion. No, forget that. If J.J. McCarthy didn't play the final two games of the Michigan season, they would have lost a game. They would have lost to either Ohio State or Iowa. I really believe that. And not everybody's going to agree with that. For Florida State, the reason they didn't lose is not because they're amazing. Florida might fire Billy Napier. They didn't get to bowl eligibility. Awful football team. Louisville, funny, where did Louisville finish in that final AP poll? Did they drop, did they drop him above, whatever,
15th, like, maybe? I don't know.
Louisville's losses this year are to Pitt, who...
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Is atrocious. Kentucky Donnie, who finished with like 7 victories, I believe, mm-hmm. on the season. And Florida State on a third string quarterback. Louisville is not very good. They're not. They didn't play. And that's a lot of people say, oh, so if they would have played Clemson on the other side. Listen, if they would have played Clemson, Donnie,
Clemson
and won 16. Right. If they would have played Clemson and won 16-6, they probably go in. The problem is, if they play Clemson, they lose that game 27-0. So yes. Clemson would have been a 15-point favorite over Florida State with Rodemaker or Brock Glenn.
Yeah, it was a shame, too, because I remember, because again, and I saw one of the things, around Twitter, I saw, maybe it was Dave Sharapan's tweet, I don't know, like, oh, look at all the eyeballs that were on this game. It was originally a Florida State tweet, and the joke for me was, 5.07 watched the game, like, that's the power, and, we're on a national stage, and I was like, yeah, well, 5.06 watched, hoping that they would lose, so we'd have to watch them again here. So, and also, like, well, Joe Lisi, who, again, knows college football, but his point is, like, well, everybody's fate, you can't play that. It's almost the same thing like saying, like, well, if you played 100 times and this team won once, does that mean you should play 100 more times? No, it doesn't. Like, things happen quirky all the time. Florida State should be in the playoff if it was expanded. But Florida State, if you watch football, if you just sit down as the casual football fan or a knowledgeable one, Florida State's nowhere near the top four. They didn't make it in, and you're right. We didn't put in a 6-5 Alabama team and said, hey, well, Alabama would beat them now. No, you put in the SEC champion over them, which is always the way it's supposed to be.
And that, again, is the thing that can I tell you what I think, Donnie, has been a bit embarrassing for some people? The people who keep going, oh, Alabama needed a 4th-and-31 prayer against Auburn. Hey, why don't you just say, I know nothing about college football, huh? Donnie, it's the Iron Bowl. Like, maybe the single craziest play in the history of college football came to us from the Iron Bowl with the kick six. But also, if we're going to play like that, right? Well, Jordan Travis beat Boston College by 2. By 2! Yes. Boston College
is terrible. 38 penalties on Boston College in that game. If they have 10 penalties, they beat Florida State outright in that game. So, yes, go ahead.
I mean, their Miami victory, Donnie, was a nail biter. They were playing. Their win over Clemson came in overtime, right? And they had to get a defensive score in order to cross it. I can't believe the people who keep going, oh, well, Auburn lost to New Mexico State. Yeah, Auburn lost to New Mexico State, clearly an obvious disaster for that football team, right? But that also, anybody who knows anything about anything, Donnie, knew Auburn was going to give Alabama their best shot the next week. Like,
yes.
But everybody was lying. I mean, again, like the appropriate people were lining up take. I was on Auburn in the game, Mr. Alabama this season. I was on the Tigers. It was the right side. Covered the whole way. They just beat Georgia. I cannot believe people think that it is a smart thing to do to basically go out there and be like, Alabama's not even that good. Oh, okay. I mean, that's great. They're basically favored over Michigan, so good take by these people.
Yeah, no, we're getting the football play, like January 1st, which typically for me is just like, we'll check into some things. Thank goodness it's not on December 31st. January 1st is going to be perfect. 2 absolute banger games everybody's going to enjoy. And if you love the bowl season and you're angry, watch Florida State, Georgia. Eat your heart out, have most fun you can have, and enjoy that game. We'll all be watching real football here, and it's great that it happened. We'll be right back on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, having some fun here, talking college football. And yes, the portal is open. Your team will have 50 guys in there. Every team will have 50 guys in there. Because if you can get recruited, you can get more money, Kevin. You should be on the move. Welcome to the new college football.
Dude, my only question, and it's not even a complaint, because I like the free agency nature of it, and I am not as drastic as you in terms of bowl games don't matter, cancel them all. Like, I'll take the opportunity to bet on these and have fun. But why, Donnie, do they not decide to have the portal closed until the season ends? Because that's what, obviously, like, imagine if in the NBA, right, the second, like, the regular season ended, they're like, all right, we're just throwing guys in the portal. And then all of a sudden, like, Victor Wembanyama was on the Lakers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why are they...
Why do you think college coaches like this, though? I think college coaches actually like this. And if you say that doesn't make any sense, hear me out on this. You wait till after the college football playoff, you get blindsided by 32 players on your team that you're like, well, shoot, man, we could have told that quarterback last week that you were on the move. Now he's already gone to Oklahoma. I wanted you here at Texas. I actually think they like that. The minute that portal opens, you know where these players stand. You're going to have a meeting with every one of your guys, 100 guys on the team. Are you in the portal? Are you out? Are you in? Are you out? Okay, good. We have these guys are coming back. I want to re-recruit these guys on my team. I want to keep this running back. But now I can go into the portal myself knowing that Dillon Gabriel's in the portal and I can go get him and I'm not blindsided because my quarterback left and then I didn't know he was going to leave and everybody else in the portal's already changed. So I do think they like it. As crazy as that sounds where it's like, hey, we don't have one singular day, I think the sooner they know colleges can approach it like, okay, we're losing two wide receivers and two linebackers. Let me get after the recruiting trail.
And it is because... You are right. Like, I know people probably don't like when Donnie says bowl games don't matter. But if they mattered, then all of Oregon State, who's playing Notre Dame, by the way, wouldn't be in the portal and their head coach already be gone. Like, for Oregon State, Donnie, playing Notre Dame is a big deal. It doesn't matter. Notre Dame, I have no idea if bowl spreads have started. You know, I'm sure they're kind of trickling out. Notre Dame, Donnie, I mean, might be a 15-point favorite in that game. Every Oregon State player, and backup quarterback, by the way, is gone. Is totally, totally gone. Because they're a Mountain West team next year. Again, the point that you made, right? So they're a Pac-2 team who plays a Mountain West schedule.
Correct. So it's simple. It's so simple, Kevin. It's get rid of the bowl season. And also, you can. But, I actually think you should still have a bowl season. Wait, but give me 24 teams in a college football playoff and then have the teams just, hey, you know what? If you want to watch a football game here between Central Michigan and Iowa State, go ahead. You can watch it and bet onto your dreams.
I think you'll be happy with next year. Because what I've always said to you is I don't know why you want less football to bet on. I know you're not super pumped about betting on these games as is, right, Donnie? But look, if there's a little bit of action, there's a little bit of juice, you're obviously going to be involved to some degree. You'll maybe pop it on. Like, they're harmless. But, again, the notion that they don't really matter has never been more true than yesterday.
But me, like, I played college football. College football was a huge part of my life. And I don't say, like, I'm very rarely, like, lie to the people out there. But I got to tell you, Kevin, I don't watch bowl games at all.
Yeah,
like,
right.
if I'm sitting, let's just say, though, take this back, though. If it's January 1st, there's nothing going on, and Penn State's playing USC.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing really to do. I'll watch it. But at no point in me, like 40 bowls, whatever it is, I'm on shows. Hey, Donnie, tonight's a bowl game. And I will openly go, like, who cares? I don't care about this bowl game.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what's going on. I couldn't name you a single player outside of some of these top teams. And that's just me being a casual football fan that used to be a monster football fan and absolutely loved bowl season to bet on it. But I saw it, what it was worth over the past 10 to 15 years and go, this is hilarious. Because me growing up in the 80s and 90s, bowls were a big deal. Do you know how we know bowls were a big deal, Kevin? There was only one real national championship game, and half the time it was like, okay, the winner of this game is going to play in the Rose Bowl, or plays the Rose Bowl. The winner of the other game in the Orange Bowl, we'll vote, and if one team wins, and we'll split the championship. Forget about that. You know why bowl games stink now? Because the players tell you it stinks. When I was a kid, these very best players were playing in quote-unquote meaningless football games. Nobody ever thought about skipping a bowl game in the history of bowl games in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. The minute that the kids realized these games are ridiculous, nobody cares, nor us, and I want to go pro, that's how you know.
The reality is, and look, I'm not saying the injuries didn't exist, Donnie, in the 80s and 90s. Injuries have always been there.
Yes.
But we are a more aware, you know, kind of sports world, and we're a more player-empowered sports world, and I think for the better. Jalen Smith playing in that game against Ohio State, that bowl game. Again, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Donnie, play anywhere, anytime. It matters. And that's why Jalen Smith played. I mean, it cost him millions and millions of dollars, potentially his NFL career. I mean, he played for a bit, right? But he was never the guy. He was a top five surefire lock selection coming out of Notre Dame. And the Cowboys took a chance on him coming, you know, in what, the second round? I mean, it's not like he fell massively. But you know how good you have to be to go in the second round when you know that people didn't know if he would ever play football again.
Correct.
So
That's why his career ended prematurely, because his leg never was right. Otherwise, you could say, like, hey, Kevin, he might have played 13 years with monster contracts.
Correct.
He never got that.
No, he never did.
I think he signed one decent contract with Dallas. He said, well, he did make some good money. Come on now. If you would have told Tom Brady that, hey, by the way, Brady only played 5 years in the NFL because of the injury he took in college. I'm like, well, he started a good year. No, no. Tom Brady ended up playing 20 years, and look what he did.
Exactly. And I mean, look, if Jalen Smith starts some juice, then the Eagles might employ him tomorrow, quite frankly, right? I mean, you know, Shaq Leonard might get himself like a $100 million deal with the way that game played out. But I don't mind the bowls. I'm excited to see, like, the portal this year, Donnie. I mean, the portal's hot, but the sneaky most interesting situation is happening in Texas, because they might win a national championship, and the quarterback that's going to win that national championship, if they do, is like, I'm coming back next year, no matter what. And I still don't know in the room if they're like, Quinn, let's do it, or if they're like, brother, like, hit the portal. Like, I don't know what you're thinking. We got Arch Manning here. I don't know. Donnie, Arch can't stay if Quinn comes back, can he?
No, which is, it's fascinating, because either one of them, can you imagine both? No, I don't say both, but if Quinn Ewers goes, watch this, I'm winning a national championship at Texas, I'm going to hit that portal. Watch how much money I make from another team. Same thing with Arch Manning. I think they're in win-win situations, because it used to be way back in the day. Hey, look, man, I think I'm the best quarterback in the country, which would be Arch Manning. Arch goes to Texas and goes, I might be the number two quarterback in this country, because the number one is actually playing in front of you. You were trapped. You couldn't transfer. You had to sit out. There was no money to make. So most of them said, well, I'll just try to gut it out. But now you can go wherever you want. Like, if you are a top-level player and you just go, like, Arch Manning again. I'm going to Texas. And the kid goes, hey, I think I'm going to stay next year. Arch goes, that's cool. I'll make, like, $4 million just by leaving here and going to a good football school. Like, nobody feels bad. Like, oh, they're blocked in here. So the point of that portal question is now, I didn't want to see it get this way, because we didn't know how it would turn out. But I always said, you know what? You know the rules of the game. You can always leave. You don't have to play college football. And college football said, well, you know, we're going to open it up and help them get some money here. Well, don't be mad at this, because it's outright free agency, which is very interesting and very fun now. But don't get mad when your quarterback's like, hey, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Like, we gave you this scholarship. You played really well for us. You made good money. And you're leaving now. Why? And he goes, well, because I can make more money somewhere else. And goodbye. This is the new state of college football, and you can't hate it.
No, but I don't hate it. I know you think that there's people who wanted them to get paid that do now. I want them to get paid.
I think that.
And love this, quite frankly. Like, Donnie, Arch Manning just got paid, what, like $1 million plus to go be on Texas's campus for a year?
Was Quinn Ewers, did he go to Ohio State to start? So I think he took $1 million from Ohio State, never played, bounced, and just said, ha, you gotcha.
Yes. He did. Well, and that's because C.J. Stroud was there, right?
Yes.
Which, again, what other choice did Quinn have? He made the right decision for himself. Just like all the coaches make the right decisions for themselves, and athletic directors and fans. But here, so Kyle McCord got himself in the portal. Kyle McCord is not leaving Ohio State, Donnie, for greener pastures. It's Ohio freaking State. They have nothing but NFL wide receiver talent in that room. I think McCord is leaving because they told him, yeah, this isn't your job next year.
This isn't your job.
Yep.
Done. And I want to know if Arch Manning can just basically do the Quinn Ewers thing in reverse. Like, you're telling me Ohio State wouldn't give Arch Manning $2 million, $3 million, $5 million to come be their quarterback next season? He'd be a Heisman Trophy favorite preseason. I truly believe that if he goes to Ohio State next year.
Yeah, we talked about that this morning, just like saying, well, why would that happen? I go, it's pretty simple. He was brought into a room that goes, I got 3 5-stars coming for your job. We like what you did here, but I'm just letting you know right now, your job is up for grabs. You win it, you'll be great, and that's all what it's for. And I do like this, too, because coaches are smart by usually saying, like, hey, you know, competition all over the place. I'm telling you right now, there are very few individuals. If you are Kyle McCord, what feels better? Because, and they'll all lie to you. Hey, Kyle, look. You're our quarterback next year. We got a couple kids coming in, but this is your job. Just go out there, work hard. Like, all right, that sounds good. I'm going to work hard and do that. Very few people like when they go, you had a good season. Your job's up for grabs. Nobody likes that. Everybody likes competition's the greatest thing. It's human nature to say, you know what? I just want my coach to tell me I'm the starter, as opposed to, well, you know, you didn't beat Michigan, and we put it all on your plate, and you played well this year, and you'll probably be better next year, but I got 3 kids behind you that I think are going to be when we start camp August 1st next year, it's going to be an open competition. You're going to have to earn this thing back. And kids hear that and go like, oh, I'll just hit the portal, make an extra $1 million, and go somewhere where that coach goes, you come here, there is no competition. You are going to play. That kid will take that spot 100 out of 100 times, no doubt. Unless you're Tom Brady. Like, you know what? I'm the best in the world. Put my job up for grabs every single year. I absolutely love it. Let's talk Eagles, Niners. Let's talk Monday Night Football next. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shaq Leonard signs with the Philadelphia Eagles, and boy, do they need help at the linebacker position if you watched yesterday. Ridiculousness. Yes. But before we get there, Kevin, let me ask you this quick question here.
Okay.
Hey, I bet this at 18 and a half. Do you like it at 19 and a half, Kevin? Answer.
Hey, I did. Listen.
Tale as old as time.
The question was, I'll be honest with you, it made me laugh a little. Only because in what world do I like Mahomes to run for 19 but not 20, right? But listen, and people, like, if someone tells you their bet, like, again, for me, I said that Mahomes rushing pop, the best bet was 18 and a half. Mm-hmm. Look, there's a risk you run that he lands 19, I win, you lose. But that yard isn't going to make a difference. Now, if you got 24 and a half, I would maybe be a little more cautious, right? You know, look, shop around, deposit at the appropriate book, whatever it may be. But Mahomes came in, so we had another. Listen, I got to tell you, this goes even back before the 3-0 streak. The last time that we on Pro Football Today didn't provide 2-1 or better in the best bet segment is months ago. Very, very happy about that.
By the way, I can't, and again, I don't ever really keep a record on that stuff.
I know.
It's like, hey, how you going? It's a hot streak. I can't remember the last time I lost my best bet. I mean, it's been a long time. Got to be at least, I think it's got 7 or 8 in a row, I want to say, to be honest. I got off to a start with like 1-2, 1-3.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if I lost since then, though.
Because I don't know when the 3-0 streak started. I think. Only because I was like, well, what did we do the week before? I think you had lost, and I think Joe and I had won, right? And that's why I say I think we've been 2-1.
Yeah.
I mean, because we basically had a week, because I remember people tweeted it at us, like, we all three of us lost, which is obviously, you know, never what you want. And I think from then on, it has just been guns blazing within that segment. Yesterday,
yeah,
again,
it's not just like, hey, I like this or I like that or this. No, that's like best bets. That's like what you, even if there's, and I always say this, there's no really true thing as a best bet. You pick what you think you like the best, but everything is really weighted the same when you give your picks out at that point. But it's just nice to see, like, in print, here's what you're going with, and let's get it after. And again, as analyst on an NFL show, it's always a bad look. It's like, hey, every week these guys lose their best bet. Like, no, like, we are on an unbelievable run combined.
I don't know if you remember this, but because I would talk to you about it. Last year on that show, I think I lost my first 7 best bets and then hit my next, and then Donnie hit my next 8. I was like, I don't even know what this is. And then I think the year finished around 500. But yeah, look, yesterday, and I texted you about it, I think a best bet record set with the Montgomery bet. I mean, what, yeah, 6 minutes into the slate,
he found the end zone? The very first drive he got in, and I checked my phone, because if you heard my analysis, which is not much more analysis than you're like, oh, well, he played 8 games, scored 7 of them. It's like, okay, he's probably going to score again. They're going against a team with a bad run defense. But my thought was, if they're inside the 5, it's his. And I think like Jahmyr Gibbs ripped off like a 35-yard run to get him down there.
Yep.
And then he comes in and punches it in. I just, like, that's a betting angle. It's like, well, you just got lucky. Like, no, we watch that all the time with football teams. It was last year with the Dallas Cowboys when I just kept riding Ezekiel Elliott. Like, well, he's not even a good running back. I don't care. They get inside the 5. Matter. That's him. That's all he gets.
Yeah, no, 100% right. Because I was watching it. I was still at the, standing at the book.
Yeah.
And Gibbs went. And when he got tackled, I went, oh, no. Because I thought they were going to do the, like, oh, he deserves it thing.
Yes.
Remember when Montgomery, like, told him to stay in that time?
Hey, kid, get in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Montgomery's never doing that again. That was a one-time thing. Get his ass out there. I got an end zone.
Because even the thought were like, oh, he's banged up. And I said, I don't care. I didn't take his yards prop. I actually took Jahmyr Gibbs' yards prop. And I believe he got over his rushing, but I took rushing and receiving. I did the same thing with Bijan and got burned by 1 yard. A tough scene. So I took a couple bad beats, but made money overall because I hit that one parlay in the first half. I had everything done except for 25 yards for two at the break. So then I started going, oh my God, it's a blowout. Here's what's going to happen. And just everything worked out in my direction. Let's get to the phone lines here, 844-843-6879. The Moose is loose here on a Monday afternoon right here on the grid. What's up there, Moose?
Hey, gentlemen, hope you guys had a great weekend. I know I did.
Yeah.
It was interesting because last week my parlays have been hitting very well. So the one ticket I'm holding right now was yesterday. I took the Rams giving up 3 points against the Browns. They covered. I took Atlanta giving up 2.5 against the Jets. They covered. And my last leg is the Bengals tonight, and I've got the Jaguars giving up 6.5. And I placed this bet on the 30th of last week. And, of course, now I believe it's up to 10 points because I think one of the key defensive backs, I don't know who's out for Cincinnati, sprained his ankle on Friday. But I think currently, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it up to 10 now for the
it is.
For Jacksonville, minus 10? So, but
yeah,
I'm sitting at 6.5, so I'm feeling good about that ticket. That's a plus 457. So, and you know, as a casual bettor, I bet $10, $5, and then I'm enjoying my year just learning the ins and outs, and I can certainly thank you guys and Sports Grid for helping me out. Learning the ropes because, you know, being a novice. But I want to share a ticket with you, okay? Are you ready, DRS?
Yes.
Okay, so I got a four-leg ticket, okay? I have the Steelers giving up 6 against the Patriots. I have the Saints giving up 5.5 against the Panthers. I have Houston giving up 6 against the Jets. And I got the Broncos straight on the money line. Playing the Chargers. So that's a plus 1454. I like that ticket. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And how about that wild weather yesterday in Pittsburgh? I'm like, holy smokes. But I enjoy listening to you guys when you're at Atlantic City. So you guys have a wonderful day. So shout out to JP as well. You guys are great. Thanks for taking my call.
There you go. All right. Chiming in there. Nice little phone call from Moose here. By the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots Thursday night. The only thing you want to watch is pro football today. That's it. And then you can shut the game off. Watch it with us for a first quarter and then put yourself to sleep with that 30.5, an abomination of a football game.
I have a question for you. It is a dangerous ask because it is assuming a victory for Jacksonville tonight. But that is, I told you I'm still in Survivor. Mm-hmm. And so I have the Jaguars tonight. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. I trust them. I actually think they cover the 10 tonight. I don't know where you land on that. I have Pittsburgh available, Donnie, as an option on Thursday.
Yeah.
Forget who else I have at my disposal.
Nope.
Would you consider it? No.
Nope. No. No. No.
Interesting.
No. Because here's what's going to happen in a football game. New England is barely going to score, but neither is Pittsburgh. Like, yeah. Pittsburgh doesn't have the offense that can go like, we'll just go out here and put up 20 and you got, and we'll laugh at you. That game might be 6-0. So, well, that's still a victory. Do you want to sweat that one out where one fumble, one missed field goal is going to be your downfall? Because Pittsburgh is that. What surprised me the most, and I love it too, because I said on the show, I said, hey, man, 24-10 final. Nailed it just with the wrong football team because Pittsburgh was awful in that football game. I mean, as bad as you can get. That's a team, Kevin, where I don't care about rainy conditions, sunny, hot, freezing cold, or where you play. You're supposed to do whatever you want to that Arizona defense. Yeah. They were brutal. And don't give me, well, Kenny Pickett went out earlier. You don't need Kenny Pickett to move the football against Arizona. They're that bad. That team, Pittsburgh was horrendous in that game, start to finish. So, having said that, I would be nowhere near the Steelers on that game Thursday night. I wouldn't be. And that shows you how bad New England doesn't even score more than three a game. And I'm like, you know what? I can't take the Steelers, which tells you how crazy that is.
I'm in two pools, but one of them, Donnie, is down to just two people, right? So one other entry, aside from the one, right? So taking a standalone game, if you can get out of it, you actually can do some really good things then come Sunday, right? Like, if I were to, say, pick Pittsburgh, and they're able to handle their business, no matter who the other person would select on Sunday, I can make money. I could, whoever their favorite would be, let's just say they have Houston, right, who's going to play the Jets on the road. You can take the Texans' money line for a chunk of money, and either you're going to hit that or you're going to win the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, it is, man, it's really interesting, though. It's really, really interesting how it works out. So, I don't know. I'm considering it, Donnie, if Zappe plays. I don't know where you land on this. I don't care how bad anyone thinks Mac Jones is. He's about quadruple the talent of Bailey Zappe. Bailey Zappe is not.
It's the same thing what the Jets are going through now. Yeah, the Jets were so frustrated with their starter that they benched them and found that, oh, my God, our starter is so much better than these trash cans we're running out on the field now. Zach, will you please start? And I love the fact Zach's going like, I don't even know if I want to start for you guys now. What a dumpster fire in New York. But forget about that. Shaq Leonard signs with the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll see if he helps. Yesterday, the Eagles were beaten down in that football game yesterday. By far, San Francisco was the better team. But I got to tell you, you know, you watch, and there's no excuses made. And sometimes you live with games where there's good calls and bad calls. There were monumental calls in that game yesterday. I'm not even saying the Eagles are going to win that game, right? You take a look at that ball that bounced like a basketball in the end zone. And they said, no, it's all good. That's a touchdown catch. I saw an offsides where Josh Sweat was lined up in his normal position on third down that got called. I saw the Eagles back in the football game down 8 points and watched a defensive back get tackled as if they were playing bull in the ring in the middle of the field. Touchdown. I watched Deebo Samuel toss sweep where George Kittle held two players at the same time right next to Deebo Samuel as he's going into the end zone. But the Eagles got smashed and do need to get better. But I can't wait for that rematch in the playoffs. It is going to be phenomenal because it finally feels like we have a rivalry in the NFL. And it feels like it's been a while since we had one. I love it. I enjoyed the game, not because the Eagles got their butt beat, but there are times where I was yelling on my couch, screaming on my couch, and saying, like, I can't wait until they play again. I love it.
I look forward to it as well. It is presently the favorite to become the NFC Championship game.
So fun. Yeah.
The Eagles lose to Dallas. The Eagles still hold the tiebreaker. So the Eagles are in a very good spot divisionally because Dallas has a losable game.
Just real quick on that. Yeah. Dallas is not winning the NFC East. So 1-2 is going to be the 49ers and the Eagles. So go ahead. I agree with that point.
But let me just say this. If you have that same, because I agree with you, Donnie, but don't bet like the Eagles to win the division this week. Like, see if the market really overreacts to an Eagles loss to Dallas.
And they will. And they will.
And then you'll be able to profit. My question for you, and we're talking about it during the break a little bit, you know, JP brings it up. You know, DraftKings, Donnie, is positioned Brock Purdy as the NFL MVP favorite. Yes. Forget, this is where it's not about who we think deserves it, right? Like, I think you could easily say Tyreek Hill deserves MVP. I don't think they're going to give it to a wide receiver. Yes. Who do you think right now wins MVP?
It's tough, too, because you even took a shot with Mahomes last night. Because I told you, I thought they would run the table, which meant they'd be the number one seed. and he would probably wiggle his way back into the MVP race.
Yeah,
but he is done. Jalen Hurts still has a shot. Dak Prescott still has a shot. Brock Purdy has a shot. And also Lamar Jackson, who doesn't have a lot of numbers, could do some magical things down the stretch, which includes beating the San Francisco 49ers in their own building on a standalone Christmas game. So I love the fact that there's so many ways to go, but I think you're projecting, just like I ended up being wrong, Bo Nix was going to win the Heisman if they beat Washington. I sorted it out a couple weeks before that said, okay, the money is right. It's plus. He doesn't have to play great. They just have to win football games. You just need to pick who's going to have the best overall record in the NFL. That's going to be your MVP this year. And yes, it will be a quarterback. One more segment here before we get you out of here. And away we go into Monday Night Football, which I got to tell you, I like it a lot more and more as this day's been moving forward. We might get some points tonight, people.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football tonight, you know where to be. Pro Football Today, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Sports Grid Network. We'll break down Cincinnati and Jacksonville. And as I was going to bed last night, Kevin, honestly, I didn't really watch much at all of the Green Bay game last night. Cashed in a ticket on a rushing and receiving prop on running back A.J. Dillon. But again, I didn't watch more than a few snaps. Woke up, caught the condensed version, watched a couple plays. Okay, liked the way that played out. But the reason I'm bringing up the story is I couldn't even remember who the Monday Night Football game last night without a computer laying in my bed was. And that's typically the case because you put so much emphasis in the weekend action itself. It's almost like Monday Night Football to me is handicapped on a Monday unless it's one of the games of the week. But as I started talking it through this morning on the early line, I really like this game prop-wise. I haven't fired yet. Put a couple things in. There's a 30% odds boot on 365. You know I'll be partaking in. But I got to tell you, I'm really finding myself liking the Cincinnati Bengals side for props tonight.
Receivers, a little bit of everything.
Quarterback and wide receivers for Cincinnati.
Wow.
Because as I say, like we don't need 4-1 here to get started, like on FanDuel. You just need to pick one. Those alt numbers, I'm talking about this, Kevin. Brown needed to throw one touchdown pass, like 200 yards, and like 25 yards apiece out of Jamar Chase and T. Higgins is like 4-1. Like I'm getting that type of numbers tonight, which I look at and say, wow. And you say, well, Donnie, Browning's bad. No, Browning threw a touchdown pass when he wasn't even practicing against Baltimore. Also went over 200 yards and threw another touchdown pass in a low-scoring Steelers game. If I think Jacksonville's going to score, and I do tonight, come on, Browning's going to throw one touchdown pass in that second half if they're down two touchdowns with that wide receiving core. It's going to happen.
No, I think it makes – I mean, like you said, he got one last week.
Yes.
Right? So, and that was in a much different game script, right?
Yes, and he had decent numbers last week. Yeah.
So I think that certainly lines up. I think the interesting thing, Donnie, is that Cincinnati defense is poor.
You know, yes,
how is that defense going to be attacked?
That's what I'm telling you. I'm talking to myself into it. I might have more money than I'm supposed to on this football game. But let's just see if we can make some money. Talk to us on Pro Football Today tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live in studio for JP Behind the Wheels of Steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.